Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about U.S. Interior Secretary David Bernhardt's visit to the Rocky Mountain Front, oil and gas leases, and a report from a clean energy rally in Billings. It's Monday, October 7th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Friday, the National Weather Service released data confirming that September was a very wet, snowy month for Montana. Kay Erickson reports.
Great Falls set a one-day snowfall record of 17.7 inches on September 28th. The previous record was 16.8 on April 20th, 1973. The highest snowfalls recorded from this storm were 52 inches in Babb, 48 inches at Browning, and 46 inches at Badger Pass. September was also a very wet month for many locations. Livingston, Baker Airport, Glendive, Savage, Sydney, and Brockton all had the wettest Septembers on record. The National Weather Service Billings recorded temperatures ranging from a high of 101 degrees at the beginning of September to 30 degrees by the end. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Kay Erickson.
Flathead National Forest workers are conducting voluntary visitor surveys to determine how the public is using the forest and to plan accordingly. The Flathead Beacon reports the survey will be conducted until September 2020, with results made available the following year. U.S. Interior Secretary David Bernhardt paid a visit to the Rocky Mountain Front Saturday to hear about conflicts with grizzly bears. The secretary heard numerous calls for delisting grizzlies from their threatened species status in and around Glacier National Park, but he says changes may be able to be made prior to delisting. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
Secretary Bernhardt took an early morning tour of a ranch near Shodo where grizzlies and humans frequently come in contact. Montana U.S. House Representative Greg Gianforte invited Bernhardt on behalf of several farmers, ranchers, and others living along the Rocky Mountain front.
There's a number of things we need to do back in Congress. This really helps making this story real. We need to reform the Endangered Species Act.
Gianforte followed recent changes to the ESA by introducing a bill that would make it easier to delist Northern Continental Divide Ecosystem grizzlies, which are threatened under the ESA. That's something many locals called for during an hour-long roundtable with Secretary Bernhardt. Montanans also called for transferring management from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and more management resources. Tony Schoonin with the Boone and Crockett Club.
You know, we believe that, you know, the bear has a place in the landscape, for sure. They've been here for centuries. The problem is we have problem bears. And, you know, there's getting to be more and more incidents of problem bears. And there's no doubt the population has recovered.
According to federal agencies, grizzlies killed 7 cattle in Montana in 2013. That number jumped to 112 in 2018. Those like Trina Bradley, vice president of the Marias River Livestock Association, say delisting would give managers more ability to euthanize problem bears, but thinks changing how problem bears are treated under the current management regime could accomplish that goal.
We absolutely need better grizzly bear management on the front and on the Blackfeet Reservation. They have basically run free for the last 30 years because they haven't been managed like they should be. Problem bears have not been removed from the population like they should be.
Bernhardt said he heard comments like Bradley's loud and clear. During a small press conference, Bernhardt said conversations about delisting NCDE bears are ongoing and added that action isn't riding on the delisting of bears in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem, which has been tied up in court.
Wherever we are in that process, we have some immediate challenges that we need to think about that are different today than they were even just a few years ago, and our thinking probably needs to reflect that.
But Bernhardt didn't say how the Interior Department's future actions may reflect that new way of thinking. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
Wildlife officials in Wyoming have trapped and relocated a grizzly bear thought to be the offspring of a well-known grizzly. Grizzly number 399 gained fame for raising at least 4 litters of cubs within the view of roads in Grand Teton National Park. A recent report from a pair of environmental advocacy groups says a third of the public lands leased for oil and gas development came with a price tag of $2 per acre or less. The groups argue the current lease rate shortchanges taxpayers. I found out more. According to the report released September 19th from the Center for Western Priorities and the Wilderness Society, the federal government leases over 1.8 million acres of public land in Montana to oil and gas companies for development. 27% of that land is leased for $2 or less. Jesse Prentice Dunn is the policy director for the Center for Western Priorities, a Denver-based nonprofit that advocates for responsible conservation and energy practices in the West.
It's really hard to access data about what's going on with those oil and gas leases. So we did a first-of-its-kind analysis to help the public see where this leasing is taking place and where there are some conflicts with a lot of our wild places and wildlife.
Prentice Dunn says almost half of leased acres remain unused by oil and gas companies. This means they only generate about $1.50 per acre for taxpayers annually. 66% of land leased by oil and gas in Montana sits idle. Kim Stevens with the Wilderness Society, a nonprofit that advocates for wilderness protections, said raising base rates to $10 an acre could decrease the amount of unused land leased by oil and gas companies.
We are hoping that we can see congressional action to make sure that our public lands are being managed for all Americans and not just one industry.
But Alan Olson with the Montana Petroleum Association says higher base rates for oil and gas leases could affect state, county, and federal revenue.
So if you're going to raise the minimum price for a bid up to $10 an acre, you're probably not going to get some of this land leased. If you don't lease the land, the state of Montana doesn't get any revenue off of that, regardless of if a well is made or not.
Al Nash works for the Bureau of Land Management and says raising base rates for oil and gas leases could mean more money initially, but could limit opportunities for production revenue.
It's an extraordinarily complicated process. And I realize that those who aren't intimately familiar with it find it a little hard to grasp how the process works and where those opportunities are for the taxpayer to benefit.
The Center for Western Priorities and the Wilderness Society's map and accompanying information also highlight different conservation efforts that are affected by oil and gas leases, including preserving sage-grouse habitat in Montana and Wyoming. The groups say energy development has decreased the population of the sage-grouse by 30% since 1985. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. Montana's largest utility company is reviewing their electric rates for the first time in 10 years, and one provision has people worried that the new rates could hurt clean energy progress in the state. Kayla DeRoche has more from a rally in Billings Friday.
We want wind, we want solar, we want it now. Again!
Around 30 people gathered in the Yellowstone County Courthouse lawn advocating for clean energy. Most are with the environmental advocacy group Northern Plains Resource Council, which organized the event. They're protesting several different Northwestern energy initiatives they claim are anti-clean energy. During a tongue-in-cheek part of the event, a volunteer cuts a papier-mâché light bulb with a knife.
All right.
This is what they think Northwestern Energy is doing to Montana's clean energy future with its proposed rates.
Montana's going the wrong direction.
Northern Plains members like Ed Gulick are concerned the new rates will discourage residents and businesses from turning to solar energy systems.
When we have local utilities that stand in the way of it, similar to what Northwestern Energy does, that puts a cap on the opportunities here in Montana for business development.
Northwestern Energy is asking state regulators to approve a fee that new customers would pay if they generate more energy than they use from things like home rooftop solar. Right now, solar customers benefit from a process called net metering. It takes extra energy from rooftop solar and feeds it back into the electric grid. That energy then returns to the homeowner later in the form of credits. It also goes into their neighbors' homes. That energy then returns to the homeowner later in the form of credits. It also goes into their neighbors' homes. Northwestern Energy's proposed rates could change that, but the company maintains the proposed rules are fair. The utility's spokesperson, Jody Black, says the rate changes level the playing field.
Some of those customers are renters or people who, for whatever reason, don't have net metering on their residence. It might not fit well with it, or it might not be an investment that they want to make. And so the rate is addressing the cost shift from those ratepayers to those who choose to make the investment in the net metering equipment and technology.
She adds their customers are around 60% carbon free. The proposed change would affect roughly 2,500 current solar, hydro, and wind energy users who, like Roxa Reller from Helena, are grandfathered into the old rules. Reller says she's concerned that the new rates would hurt future solar energy users.
It sounds like the work that Northwestern Energy is doing is the antithesis of what they advertise. They're not encouraging people to help them provide energy into the future with alternative sources. And our home solar arrays help our neighbors, and they help anybody downstream in the electric grid from us.
Northwestern Energy proposed its Montana electric rate review last year, and it's currently before the Montana Public Service Commission. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you, early birds, tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.